What can the promise of a general teach us about Jesus?
We'll find out on today's episode of The Incredible Journey.
Plus, we have health news, music, and a devotional thought from Pastor Mark Finley.
Join us. Good morning and happy Friday and welcome to Wake Up With Hope. Thank you for waking up with us today.
It's National Walk to Work Day. And did you know that walking has a host of amazing benefits? Mm-hmm.
Walking can help maintain a healthy weight and lose weight. In fact, lose body fat.
Yeah, that's even better.
Yeah. It can prevent or manage various conditions, including heart disease, stroke, high blood pressure, cancer, type 2 diabetes, and much more.
Yes, walking is wonderful. It's even helping to improve our cardiovascular fitness. It's strengthening our bones and muscles and even increasing our energy levels.
Wow. So today, take advantage of the day and enjoy a nice walk. Even if work is too far for you to walk to, well, how about doing a prayer walk? Wake up early
nice.
In the morning and enjoy a nice walk in the fresh air as you talk with God.
Mm. You know what? You will surely be refreshed and energized, not just physically, but also spiritually.
That's right. And speaking of being spiritually refreshed and energized, we have much to share with you today. So let's begin by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history, in 1774, Benjamin Franklin penned an open letter to Frederick Lord North, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, from the Smyrna Coffee House in London. The letter, later published in the Public Advertiser, a British newspaper, on April 15, 1774, Franklin's satirical letter proposed imposing martial law on the colonies and appointing a king's viceroy of all North America to govern them. He humorously suggested that this centralized power over the colonies, which he jokingly referred to as Yankee Doodles, would enable the British crown to collect taxes and potentially sell the colonies and colonists to Spain due to their perceived impoverishment. Franklin found his suggestions laughable, but North considered them practical. However, pursuing such a scheme resulted in the loss of many lives and ultimately the independence of Britain's 13 colonies.
Have you ever read some of what God calls us to do and found it to be humorous or even ridiculous? That could sometimes appear to be the case, such as when God told Joshua that he had to win against the battle against Jericho simply by marching around the city. But it came to pass. You know, friends, God calls us to humble ourselves and to trust him implicitly. Even though we may not understand, he has a plan. Mm-hmm. And you know what? At the end of the day, it's perfect plan.
That's right. It's his perfect plan. So when he asks us to do things that may seem outside of our comfort zone or a little different, mm-hmm. we need to listen.
Yes.
That's the lesson I take from that. Mm. Well, we have health news now as Dr. Narita McKibben from Go Healthy for Good joins us.
In the headlines today, small investment, huge dividends, keto diet lowers testosterone, and glandular fever linked to multiple sclerosis. Increasing their physical activity levels helped participants in a recent study avoid or reverse obesity, according to findings published in the Obesity Journal. The change didn't need to be drastic, and even small changes led to big results. 113,000 participants were followed for 6 years with regular self-reporting of physical activity levels, both the intensity and the duration. Their body mass index, or BMI, and waist circumference was measured every 2 years. The physical activity guidelines for Americans were used as the benchmark, and they state that we need 150 minutes of moderate or 75 minutes of vigorous physical activity each week. When participants increase physical activity by any amount up to the recommended hours per week, their BMI fell by 5%. If they increased to a level that was at or above the recommended hours per week, then BMI dropped by 14%. Researchers suggest that achieving half the recommended amount of physical activity each week could prevent obesity. Researchers in the UK have assessed the effect of the keto diet and other low-carb, high-protein diets on men's cortisol and testosterone levels. They looked at data from 27 different studies and found low-carb diets raised resting cortisol levels in the short term, but had no impact in the long term. However, cortisol levels were significantly raised following a bout of exercise, and that increase continued in the long term. This might be a red flag because high cortisol levels can lead to breakdown of muscle. Testosterone levels in men were not altered by a low-carb diet, either at rest or after exercise. However, the dietary combination of low-carb and high-protein resulted in a substantial fall in testosterone levels, both at rest and following exercise. So if you're planning to lose weight with a low-carb, high-protein diet, you may risk some negative health consequences that need to be taken into account. The underlying cause of multiple sclerosis remains a mystery to medical researchers. A recent US study funded by the NIH and done by researchers from Harvard has looked for the underlying cause. Epstein-Barr virus, or EBV, infects neurons, resulting in inflammation and demyelination, and it's linked to many nervous system diseases. Researchers were able to access blood samples from 10 million active duty US military personnel taken every 2 years from 1993 to 2013. Those infected with EBV were 30 times more likely to develop MS than those who had never been infected. The study author says this is the first study providing compelling evidence that EBV causes MS, suggesting that perhaps MS could be prevented by stopping EBV infections. EBV is the virus that causes glandular fever or infectious mono and infects more than 90% of the population. I'm Dr. Nerida McKibben, and that's today's Health News.
General Douglas MacArthur made a striking promise. The Incredible Journey joins us this morning as they reveal what it was and the powerful lesson in it.
Some of the most memorable words in history were spoken here at this isolated railway station in the small town of Tarawi, located about 200 kilometres north of Adelaide in South Australia. Here's what happened. In March 1942, General Douglas MacArthur was forced to flee the Philippines in the face of an aggressive Japanese invasion. MacArthur had been appointed as Field Marshal of the Philippines by the United States government, and he had been tasked with protecting the Philippines from Japanese invasion. But unable to fend off the Japanese, MacArthur, his family, and small team of close associates fled to Australia on the US B-17 airplanes. He landed in Darwin and then made his way to South Australia by train. Disembarking from the train, he stood right here on this platform and addressed a small group of people waiting to welcome him. He vowed that he would return to the Philippines with these famous words, "I came out of Bataan and I shall return." MacArthur vowed that though he had been forced to leave the Philippines, he would return and liberate the country from the Japanese. True to his word, in 1944, MacArthur landed in the Philippines and worked to liberate the country from the Japanese. In September 1945, he accepted a formal surrender from the Japanese on board the USS Missouri. MacArthur was able to keep his promise. 2,000 years before MacArthur, Jesus made a similar promise just before returning to heaven. He promised his disciples that he would come again, that he would return. This is what he said, "I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." This is one of the most encouraging, hope-filled promises ever made. It's filled Christ followers with optimism because they know that something good, something wonderful is going to happen. It allows us to be hopeful and confident about the future. Jesus is coming back to get us and fix our broken world. It's the best news ever. Here are five important things you need to know about the second coming of Jesus. One, it'll be a glorious event. Here's what the Bible says. For the Son of Man is going to come in His Father's glory. And here it is again. When the Son of Man comes in His glory. So there's point number one. The second coming of Christ is going to be a glorious event. Point two, when Jesus comes, all the holy angels will come with Him. Here's what the Bible says. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him. Now, point number three. The second coming of Jesus is going to be a visible event. Everyone will see Jesus come. Here's what the Bible says. He's coming with clouds, and every eye will see Him. And point number four. It's going to be audible. We're all going to hear Jesus come. The Bible says, For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And finally, point number five. It's going to be the same Jesus that comes back. The Bible makes it very clear that when Jesus returns at His second coming, He will be the very same Jesus who walked the dusty pathways of Israel, healing the sick and befriending the lonely. Here's what the angels told Jesus' disciples. This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw Him go into heaven. So there are five important points about the second coming of Jesus. One, it's going to be a glorious event. Two, all the holy angels are going to come with Jesus. Three, it's going to be a visible event. Every eye will see Jesus come. Point four, it's going to be an audible event. Every ear will hear Jesus coming. Point number five, it's going to be the same Jesus who was here 2,000 years ago that's coming back. Of all the events of history, the second coming of Jesus will be the most significant. It's an event that you will not want to miss. Why not make a commitment to prepare yourself for Jesus coming today?
From Where I'm Standing is the song Gisela Kroll is singing this morning as she inspires us through song.
It's amazing how you never run out of patience. The God I thought I knew was all about the expectations. I'm learning how to love You, learning how to bend. Teach me how to love myself, and then maybe I can be who You want me to be. From where I'm standing, I wouldn't stand a chance without You. Need Your mercy. broken heart. The sinner's looking for a fresh start. This one thing that I've learned.
Coming up right after this short break, we will have today's devotional thought by Pastor Mark Finley.
And don't forget, if you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend. Or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more.
And always search for us on YouTube to check out our channel and keep up with us there. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. Thank you for being here this morning.
It's now time for a devotional thought from Pastor Mark Finley.
Have you ever met somebody that was so humble, they were proud of their humility? I read a story once about an old preacher. He talked about this young man. And this young man thought he was the greatest preacher ever, you know. And the young man goes up into the pulpit very proud, very arrogant. He begins to preach, but something happens. He loses his place in his notes, can't find where he is. He stumbles through the sermon, stutters. He's embarrassed. He walks down with his head down. The old preacher says, "Son, if you would have gone up as you came down, you would have come down as you went up." In other words, if you went up with a very humble attitude, depending on God totally, you would have come down satisfied that God had spoken through you. The book of Proverbs tells us the story of the importance of humility in our lives. So we need to look at what is humility and why is humility such an important grace. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 12, "Before the destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, but before honor is humility." Why is pride so destructive and what is humility? Pride indicates a lack of trust in God. It's exalting self above God. Pride trusts in the fallen human nature. It trusts in its own abilities. Do you remember the story told in Scripture of Lucifer and his pride? That story is found in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 14. And Scripture says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, the son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven." Now notice, Lucifer has eye problems. He needs a divine optometrist. "I will ascend into heaven." Five times I is used. Wasn't he already in heaven? Yes, he wanted a higher place. "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." Didn't he have a throne? Yes, but he wasn't content. He wanted a higher position. "I will also sit on the mount of the congregation in the farthest sides of the north." What does it mean that Lucifer would sit in the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north? Mount Sinai was to the north. That's where the law of God was administered. So Lucifer did not want to obey. He wanted to be the one who gave the law. It says, "I'll ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." So Lucifer wanted God's power, but not his character. Pride is so destructive because it substitutes human reasoning for God's divine truth. It substitutes the abilities of the creature far above the power of God, the Creator. It substitutes human logic for divine wisdom. Humility is simple dependence on God. James chapter 4, verse 6 declares, "But he gives more grace. Therefore," he says, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." What is humility? Humility is trusting in God. Humility is recognizing that I can't, but God can. That I don't have the wisdom, but God does. I don't have the strength, but God does. Humility is not weakness, but it's rather humble trust upon God really enables me to become much stronger. Remember in the Beatitudes how Jesus puts it, Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is rather humble trusting upon God, recognizing that He is the source of my wisdom, the source of my strength. A number of years ago, when I first went to the former Soviet Union, the situation was quite tense, and our leadership team there of the Seventh-day Adventist Church assigned to me a Russian bodyguard by the name of Boris. Now, Boris's story is quite remarkable. Boris always wanted to be part of the KGB, the secret police. His uncle was the guard, was one of the guards of Stalin, and Boris admired his uncle. And so he went to KGB school, Boris did, and he learned psychological warfare. He learned how to detonate bombs and explosives. He learned judo. He learned the art of using weapons. He studied geography, culture, history, language. Boris, just a brilliant person. And one day he was in a guard tower of the KGB. And as Boris was in this guard tower, it had rained and it was quite slippery. Stepped on a ladder, flipped, went down the staircase and broke his back. He was taken to a special KGB hospital. While in that hospital, he was lying on the bed and he was watching television and he saw some of his KGB unit classmates that had graduated with him, now that were operatives, and he knew them, and he saw them in crowds inciting riots here and there in republics in the Soviet Union that the Soviets wanted to dominate. And so he watched all that, and he said, that's not the lifestyle I want. And he began to think, where can I find peace and meaning? And he remembered on one occasion that he had heard a story about Jesus on a mountain giving a sermon. And he remembered some of the words of that sermon, and he called it the Mountain Sermon. Words like, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, blessed are the meek. And very humbly, very submissively, this KGB agent said, Jesus, I need you. Give me direction. He sent a letter to what he thought was the Orthodox priest, asking, have you ever heard of the Mountain Sermon? He didn't know the Sermon on the Mount. Have you ever heard of the Mountain Sermon? And I'd like to know more about it, and I'd like to know more about this man called Jesus. The letter ended up, because churches had their mailboxes similar so they could be controlled, not far from one another, in an Adventist pastor's mailbox. And the Adventist pastor read it. He visited Boris there at the KGB hospital. And he shared with him the principles of the Bible. He shared with him the story of Daniel and how Daniel's humility, Daniel purposed in his heart to serve God, and how Daniel in a foreign culture was dependent upon God. He shared with Boris the prophecies of the book of Daniel, the second chapter, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome, and the breakup of the Roman Empire, and the coming of Christ. Boris was so incredibly impressed with that he gave his heart to Jesus, became my bodyguard. When I left Russia during those days, I gave Boris all my graphics, all my slides I was using for sermons. And his story is an amazing one because he becomes a Seventh-day Adventist pastor. And as a pastor, he becomes an evangelist and a leader in our church in Russia, in various conferences or geographical units of our churches. God blesses the humble. Boris had the humility to seek God and not depend on his own sufficiency or his own brilliance. Wherever you are just now, God invites you to seek Him in His Word. to humbly come to Him and to let Him impress your heart, touch your mind, and change your life.
Pastor Mark, thank you. We feel blessed.
And thank you for watching Wake Up With Hope. If you'd like to learn more about our program, rewatch a segment during the weekend, or share us with a friend, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And we look forward to starting the week with you, so don't forget to join us on Monday, same time, same place. We will have an inspiring message from Voice of Prophecy, a delicious recipe from Gia and her team, music, and much more.
Also, if you are really interested in today's devotional thought, and you would like to learn even more about the Bible, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, that's hope.study.
And friends, don't go too far. We have a Bible promise just for you for the weekend, and it's found in Luke chapter 8, verse 39.
It says, "Return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you." And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city the great things Jesus had done for him.
You know, friend, God has promised to do great things for you. What great things has he done so far? Well, count your blessings and go and proclaim them to others.
Amen. We pray you keep this amazing promise in your heart this weekend, and we truly wish you a blessed weekend.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, just like that healed demon-possessed man, he was set free, and he had so many things to proclaim about your love and goodness. Lord, may that be our experience even today. Lord, may we share the good news of who you are with those around us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us so much hope. We love you with all our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.